Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. It's Monday morning, January 7th, 2019, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today, we are resuming our study in the Dead Sea Scroll book, known as the Ancient Book of Jubilees. And like I've said many times before, if you're just tuning in for the first time, go back and listen to episode 1 of the Book of Jubilees, because that explains why we're even looking at it. And you kind of want to know that before you get into it. Plus, you need to get the rest of the information that's happened in the first 7 chapters. Today, we're going to be reading chapter 8 and 9. Not overly exciting, but some interesting things. What we have here is the earth being divided between Noah's 3 sons. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. And yep, that's it. All right, let's begin. Chapter 8 of the Book of Jubilees, verse 1. In the 29th Jubilee, in the first week, in the beginning thereof, Arpachshad took to himself a wife, and her name was Resuaja, the daughter of Susan, the daughter of Elam. And she bare him a son the 3rd year in this week, and called his name Canaan. And the son grew, and his father taught him writing. And he went to seek for himself a place where he might seize for himself a city. He found a writing which former generations had carved on a rock. And he read what was thereon, and transcribed it, and sinned owing to it, for it contained the teaching of the watchers, in accordance with which they used to observe the omens of the sun and the moon and the stars and all the signs of heaven. And he wrote it down, said nothing regarding it, for he was afraid to speak to Noah about it, lest he should be angry with him on account of it. All right, well, we need to stop right there. And that's really all it tells us about this particular situation. And then as we were going to read, it goes on to talk about the land being divided amongst the 3 sons. But so it says that Canaan here, and he went to, his father taught him the skill of writing, so he was able to read and write. And as he was out seeking for himself a city where he might seize it for himself, he found this writing on a cave, and it says that it was a sin for him to transcribe it, because it contained the teaching of the watchers, specifically how to use the sun, the omens of the sun and the moon and the stars and the signs of heaven. And he wrote it down. And he never mentioned it because he was afraid of Noah, that if Noah found out, Noah would be angry about it. I just find that interesting. I don't really have anything real special to say about that, other than I find it interesting. And at the risk of sounding crazy, I think similar things have happened in this generation. I've mentioned it before, you know. I don't think the ancient world was caveman-like. I think they had some incredible technology. And I think the ancient world has been, and the truth about the ancient world has been hidden from us. And even Peter makes the comment about how people be ignorant of the old world, specifically dealing with the flood issue. And, likewise, you know, at that time, according to some of the stuff we've read here in the Book of Jubilees, which was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, also found in other Bibles around the world, Likewise, Enoch, also found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, also included in Bibles around the world. Talk about how when the Watchers came down, they taught men and women all kinds of strange things, strange arts, and strange technology, even the splicing of animals. And then you fast forward to the time we're living in now. Now, if you think about it, if you go back like 150 years, you know, we're like horse and buggy. Maybe you don't even have to go back that far. But we're like horse and buggy and carrying lanterns, you know. Maybe you have to go back a little bit further than that for electricity. But my point is then all of a sudden, you go boom from horse and carriage type technology, which is what we had for thousands of years, to just in like 100 years, we're flying 600 mile an hour through the sky. We're talking to each other from around the world face to face via looking into a piece of glass. No one stops to think about, man, how does this actually work? And no one thinks, well, it's kind of strange that I'm able to talk to a person in high definition by holding a thin piece of glass in my hand. And so I can't help but speculate. I can't help but wonder, did something similar happen that caused such a massive boom in technology? Or did somebody come across some ancient teaching of the Watchers? Or, you know, these are just things that I'm speculating on. You can call it crazy if you want, but I think I make a pretty good point. And so that's kind of just what came to mind as I was thinking about this passage. And I just found it interesting, and I thought I would share that thought with you. All right, let's move on. Verse 5. And in the 13th Jubilee, in the second week of the first year thereof, he took to himself a wife, and her name was Melchah, the daughter of Madiah, the son of Japheth. And in the fourth year he begat a son, and called the name Shelah. For he said, truly I have been sent. And he sent forth year, and in the fourth year he was born. And Shelah grew up, and he took himself a wife, and her name was Mu'ak, the daughter of Kased, his father's brother. The 1 and 13th Jubilee. In the fifth week, in the first year thereof, she bare him a son, and in the fifth year thereof, and he called his name Eber. And he took unto himself a wife, and her name was Azura, the daughter of Nebrod. In the 32nd Jubilee, in the seventh week, in the third year thereof, and in the sixth year thereof, she bare him a son, and called his name Peleg. For in the days when he was born, the children of Noah began to divide the earth amongst themselves. For this reason he called his name Peleg. And they divided it secretly amongst themselves, and told it to Noah. And it came to pass in the beginning of the 33rd Jubilee, that they divided the earth into three parts, for Shem and Ham and Japheth, according to the inheritance of each. And in the first year, in the first week, when one of us who had been sent was with them. And he called his sons, and they drew nigh to him, they and their children, and he divided the earth into the lots, which his three sons were to take possession. And they reached forth their hands and took the writing out of the bosom of Noah, their father. So now we're getting ready to read about Shem's portion. And the footnotes here say Shem's portion is the Middle East, India, and China. Verse 12. And there came forth on the writing as Shem's lot the middle of the earth, which he should take as an inheritance for himself and for his sons and for the generations of eternity, from the middle of the mountain range of Rapha, from the mouth of the water, from the river Tina. And his portion goeth towards the west, through the midst of the river, and it extendeth till it reaches the water of the abysses, out of which the river go forth and poureth its waters into the sea Miat, and the river floweth into the great sea, and all that is towards the north is Japheth's, and all that is towards the south belongs to Shem, and it extendeth till it reacheth Carasso. This is in the bosom of the tongue which looketh toward the south. And his portion extendeth along the great sea, and it extendeth into a straight line till it reacheth the west, the tongue which looketh towards the south. For this sea is named the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And it turneth from here towards the south, towards the north of the great sea on the shore of its waters, and it extendeth to the west, to Aphra, and it extendeth till it reacheth the waters of the river Gihon, and to the south of the waters of Gihon, to the banks of the river. And it extendeth towards the east, till it reacheth the Garden of Eden, to the south thereof. And from the east of the whole land of Eden, of the whole cast, it turneth to the east, and proceedeth till it reacheth the east of the mountain named Rapha, and it ascendeth to the bank of the mouth of the river Tina. This portion came by forth by the lot for Shem and his sons, that they should possess forever unto his generation forevermore. And Noah rejoiced that this portion came forth for Shem and for his sons. And he remembered all that he had spoken with his mouth in prophecy. For he had said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and may the Lord dwell in the dwelling of Shem." And he knew that the Garden of Eden is the Holy of Holies, and the dwelling of the Lord, and the Mount Sinai in the center of the desert, and Mount Zion the center of the navel of the earth. These three were created as holy places facing each other. And he blessed the God of gods who had put the word of the Lord into his mouth, and the Lord forevermore. You know, as he's describing what land Shem would inherit, and all of Shem's descendants, he mentions the Garden of Eden as, you know, the Garden of Eden is mentioned here as if that's a location that people would know and understand. Like, you know, came up to here towards where the Garden of Eden is, and then and it makes me wonder if for a period of time, at least, you know, at this point in time, if they knew where the Garden of Eden actually was. And it would seem that they did. And if this was correct, then it would be somewhere in the Middle East. Of course, we know from Scripture you couldn't enter it anyway, because it's guarded by cherubim with flaming swords. But I find it interesting nonetheless. Let's continue. Makes me wonder if some people know about that today. There's so many things that I think... I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here. There was this movie that was created... it's been a long time. It was called The Village. And I saw it in theaters. It was years and years and years ago. I was still very, very young. But the premise of the movie was that these people bought this plot of land, kind of out in the middle of the wilderness. And they created a civilization and they raised children. And the children grew up there believing that they were not to go into the woods, the perimeter. And if they did, they'd be attacked by these monsters. And every so often the monsters would come out and everybody had to hide. And that was kind of the premise of the movie. But what turned out to be is that actually it was all a sham. And that you could go into the woods, and then when one individual ends up... I'm sorry if I'm spoiling the movie, but the idea is the one individual ends up discovering that, hey, if you leave the woods, there's this whole other world out here. And the only reason they believe that scenario is because they were born in it, and then taught it, and it wasn't until they left it that they discovered the actual truth. And I wonder... You know, for example, we're all born here in the United States of America. I just wonder how many things we believe just because it's what was told to us when we started going to public school. what is fed through us to the black screen in your house that lights up, and then a talking head tells you what you're to believe. And then you go to a university and they tell you what to believe. And I just, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this. Maybe you're tracking with me, and maybe I'm just rambling because it's early. But I just wonder, you know, and I think about the Garden of Eden. Is it, you know, is it really an unknown location? Or is it just, is the wool just pulled over the eyes of humanity about so many things by the ruling elite? And it's like a large scale, The Village situation. Don't know where that thought's coming from this morning. Again, maybe it's just early. Let's keep going forward here. And he knew that a blessed portion of the and a blessing had come to Shem and his sons and to the generations forever. The whole land of Edom, and the whole land of the Red Sea, and the whole land of the East, and Eat in India, and on the Red Sea, and the mountains thereof, and all the land of Bashan, and the land of Lebanon, and the islands of Kaftur, and all the mountains of Sanir, and Amana, and the mountains of Ashur in the north, and all the land of Elam, Ashur, and Babel, and Susan, and Media, and all the mountains of Arat, and all the region beyond the sea, which is beyond the mountains of Ashur, towards the north, a blessed and spacious land, and all that is in it is very good. Now we go to Ham's portion, which, according to the notes, is talking about Africa. Verse 22. And for Ham came forth the second portion beyond the Gihon, towards the south, to the right of the garden. And it extended towards the south, and it extended to all the mountains of fire. And it extended toward the west, to the sea of Atel. And it extended towards the west till it reaches the sea of Ma'uk, that sea into which everything which is not destroyed descendeth. And it goeth forth towards the north, to the limits of Gadir. And it goeth forth to the coast of the waters of the sea, to the waters of the great sea, till it draweth near to the river Gihon, and goeth along the river Gihon till it reaches the right of the Garden of Eden. See, they keep using the Garden of Eden as a reference point, almost like a middle point. And this is the land which came forth for Ham as the portion which he was to occupy forever for himself and his sons unto their generations forever. So at the very least, at this point, if these writings are accurate, they know where the Garden of Eden is because they're using that as a reference point to divide the land. All right, let's look at Japheth's portion, which, according to the notes here, would be North Asia, Europe, and the five great islands. Verse 25, and Japheth came forth the third portion beyond the river, to Tina to the north, out of the overflow of its waters, and extendeth north easterly to the whole region of Gog, and to all the country east thereof. And it extendeth north by, to the north, and it extendeth to the mountains of Kelt, towards the north, and towards the sea of Ma'uk. And it goeth forth to the east of Gadir, as far as the region of the waters of the sea. And it extendeth until it approacheth the west, to Pharah, and it returneth north, or returneth towards Apharag. And it extendeth easterly towards the water of the sea of Miet. And it extendeth to the region of the river Tina, in a northeasterly direction until it approaches the boundary of its waters towards the mountains Rapha. And it turned around towards the north. This is the land which came forth for Japheth, and his sons, and his portion of inheritance, which should possess for himself and his sons for their generations forever. Five great islands, and a great land in the north. But it is cold, and the land of Ham is hot. And the land of Shem is neither hot nor cold, but it is of blended cold and heat. And so it appeared that just like Noah prophesied, that Shem would get the greatest portion of land, the best land, where it is not always hot and not always cold, but a mixture of temperatures where Ham's land was hot, which he remember, if you remember, he received like the African, that area. And so the land of Ham is hot, and the land of Shem is neither hot nor cold, but it is of blended. And Japheth's was cold, a colder region. All right, we have one more chapter here to read real fast, but it's only a couple of verses. And it is chapter 9, and it just continues on with this conversation. So let's begin. Verse 1. And Ham divided amongst his sons. The first portion came forth for Cush towards the east, and to the west of him for Mizraim, and to the west of him for Put, and to the west of him, and to the west thereof on the Atlantic Sea for Canaan. And Shem also divided amongst his sons, and this first portion came forth for Elam and his sons, to the east of the river Tigris, till it approaches the east, the whole land of India, and on the Red Sea, and on its coasts, and on the waters of Dedan, and all the mountains of Mebri and Elah, and all the land of Susan, and all that is on the side of Pharnak, to the Red Sea, and to the river Tina. And for Ashur came forth the second portion, all the land of Ashur, and Nineveh, and Shinar, to the border of India, and it ascended to the Skirdith River. And for Arpachshad came forth the third portion, all the land of the region of the Chaldees, and to the east of the Euphrates, bordering on the Red Sea, and all the waters of the desert close to the tongue of the sea which looketh towards Egypt, all the land of Lebanon and Sanir, and Amana to the border of Euphrates. And for Aram there came forth a fourth portion, all the land of Mesopotamia, between the Tigris and the Euphrates to the north of the Chaldees, to the border of the mountains of Ashur and to the land of Arah. And there came forth for Lud the fifth portion, the mountains of Ashur and all appertaining to them, till it reaches the great sea, until it reaches the east of Ashur, his brother. And Japheth also divided the land of his inheritance amongst his sons. And the first portion came forth for Gomer to the east from the north side to the river Tina. And in the north there came forth Magog, all the inner portions of the north, until it reaches to the sea of Miet. And for Media came forth all as his portions that he should possess from the west of his two brothers, to the islands and to the coast of the islands. And for Javan came forth the fourth portion, every island, and the islands which are toward the border of Lud. And for Tubal there came forth the fifth portion in the midst of the tongue which approacheth towards the border of the portion of Lud, to the second tongue, to the region beyond the second tongue, unto the third tongue. And for Meshech came forth the sixth portion, all the region beyond the third tongue, till it approaches the east of Gadir. And for Tyrus there came forth the seventh portion, for great islands in the midst of the sea, which reach the portion of Ham, and the islands of Kamatari came out by lot for the sons of Arpachshad as his inheritance. And thus the sons of Noah divided unto their sons in the presence of Noah their father, and bound them all by an oath, imprecating a curse on every one that sought to seize the portion which he had not fallen to him by his lot. And they all said, so it be, for themselves and for their sons, forever throughout their generations till the day of judgment, on which the Lord God shall judge them with a sword and with fire, for all the unclean wickedness of their error, wherewith they have filled the earth with transgressions and uncleanliness and fornication and sin. And that is chapter 8 and chapter 9 of the book of Jubilees. And it kind of ends there with saying, this is the land and how it was divided, until that day come when the Lord is going to judge the whole earth with fire for all the transgressions, uncleanliness, fornications, and sin. Well, there you have it, my friends. There's the study for this morning. I pray that it blessed you and that you found it interesting. And if you did, please go to the comments and let me know about that. Also, please consider supporting this mission to deliver the scriptures and these conversations, which are hard to find, which is why many of you are here. And you can do that by going to scriptureandprophecy.com, and that's how you support this work. It's 100% listener supported. So please consider supporting the podcast and or praying for the podcast. Your prayers are much coveted as well. That's all I got for you this morning. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.